morning. A warm welcome to each one of you to Paignton Baptist Church. Also a warm welcome to those listening online. And this morning, Reverend Philip Seaton will be speaking to us on the true story of Gideon. It's a lovely story, but a true story. We have notices. First of all, the live streaming team, if you're listening online, apologize to all watching the live stream this morning or the recording during the coming week. The sound will not be up to our expected quality due to upgrading the live stream sound with a new church sound system. We hope to complete this work before next Sunday. So there's the apology, first of all. Secondly, a reminder, a week on Tuesday is our church meeting. All are welcome to come to that, which is a week on Tuesday, our church meeting. And I'm delighted to say that Debbie has some good news. So I'll pass over to Debbie briefly. Thank you.
As Mark would say, good morning, family. I just want to thank you all. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support. I had my ministerial recognition interview on Tuesday morning. Five ministers grilled me with some beautiful questions. They asked me to wait, and yet they unanimously are seeing and discerning that I am called into lay ministry, that I am formed, that I am called to work with children. And so the 21st of July celebration of all that has happened in the last 3 years will also be a commissioning service into lay ministry. And I couldn't have done it with all of you, without you, all of you. You are the ones that have helped to form me, as well as college, and obviously God and the Holy Spirit. So thank you so much. It's been such a joy to be with you, but also to discover God's plan for me for the next few years. And I'm so excited about it. But thank you. I've got a second notice. Yeah. I haven't got the third one, you'll be pleased to know. The second one is, we would really like some help on Saturday morning next week between 10 and 12 in the garden. And we actually need some people who are prepared between them to do a little bit of lifting things out of the way so we can lay the black anti-weed plastic and membrane on top of an area and put things back onto it to stop all the weeds keeping on growing it through. And also we've got some other jobs as well, and we'd really like as much help as possible next Saturday. There will be all sorts of yummy refreshments, but if we could gather at 10 o'clock in the Crosslink Centre, and we'll go out into the garden. If it is for some reason very wet, we've also got a cross to decorate to put into the garden with pebbles and little glass stones. And so there will be something to do anyway, and we can have some fellowship. But please, as many people as possible, and please spread the word. You might have a strong neighbour who might like to just come and serve for a morning and meet some gorgeous people. So please, as many people as possible, next Saturday morning, 10 till 12. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Debbie. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. Thank you that you're able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purposes. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you that you're always with us and will never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we might have freedom and life. Forgive us, please, for when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, for all that you've given. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirits. Fill us with your peace and joy. We love you, and we need you this day and every day. We give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. As a church, we base all we do on the Bible. I'd like to read two sections of Scripture now. Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. We're now going to worship the Lord with three songs. Worship the Lord in song, three songs. Over to the singing group. Thank you.
His work is perfect
Let's pray. Thank you, Holy Lord, for your great faithfulness to each one of us. Please help us to respond with faithfulness and love to you. Amen. One way we can show our love and response to God and our faithfulness is by our gifts. If you are a guest, please let the offering bag pass you by. But we'll have our offering now. Thank you, stewards. Let's pray. Indeed, great is thy faithfulness to each one of us. And we thank you for the money you've given us, and we thank you for the privilege of giving some back to you. And we pray that you'll bless it and use it to your glory. Amen. Amen. I think it's now time for the children to go out. I'm so glad you're here. It's great to have our three children here this morning. And we pray for them and Debbie and Dawn. Shall I just pray for you? And Charlie. Sorry, Charlie. So may you have a good time this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for each member of our church, each member of our congregation, however young or however old. And we pray your special blessing now on our children. And we pray that you enable them to follow you and to learn from you each day and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know whether any of you watched the football last night. I tend not to watch too much. It's a bit too stressful, really. But the England player, who I thought was a standout player, is a guy called Saka. And you may realise at the end of his scoring his goal, rather than go to his other teammates, he went down on his knees, put his hands up to say thank you to God. Because Saka is a Christian. And according to the website, he reads his Bible every evening. The link, very tenuously perhaps, is that the composer of our lyric video is also a Nigerian Christian. We're going to sing together, with the help of a lyric video, Waymaker. Worship. Waymaker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. We're now going to have our reading from Mark Davis. Judges chapter 7, verses 1 to 22, is on page 249 in the Church Bible. Thank you, Mark.
Morning, family. Judges 9 from verse 1. Early in the morning, Gideon and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me, saying, 'My own strength has saved me.' Now announce to the army, 'Anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead.'" So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink." 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs, and all the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300, who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below them in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sands of the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling his friend a dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites, the whole camp, into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all round the camp, blow yours and shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hand and holding in their right hand the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position round the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Bethshitta towards Zerira, as far as the border of Abel Meholah near Tabath.
Pray with Philip as he comes to speak to us. Father God, we thank you so much for Philip and the ministry you've given him. We pray, Lord, that you'll anoint him afresh with your Spirit as he speaks to us. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give us listening ears that we may hear what you are saying, and perhaps more importantly, obedient hearts that we may put into practice what you are telling us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're thinking of Judges chapter 7 and verse 12. No, verse 2, sorry. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me." I suppose that to all of us, numbers are important. And if any of you were watching the television on Thursday night, you will know how much numbers were important as results came in from the election. If I remember right, one constituency had 6 recounts before they announced their numbers. They needed to know that they were right and they were correct. And for all of us, we need numbers. Even for our finances, we need to check them to see that everything is all right. And money becomes at times important, and we need to know we've got that balance. Or you perhaps ring the doctor and you are told you are number 26 in the line. Please hold on. And you listen, 25, 24. And so it goes, and so it goes. And it seems very slow to move. And we begin to realize that in many aspects of our lives, numbers are important. And I'm sure if we were to ask Gideon, he would have said numbers were important to him. And to all of us, as I've said, they are. But the first thing that God says is they are too many. You've got too many. I wonder if I was to ask what we needed to make this church full and so full that we were talking of a bigger one, some would say, well, we need more numbers. We need more workers. We need more people. But that isn't always so. We need to know and to recognize God with us and that God will lead us. Gideon probably felt that the Midianites, with 135,000 men, and he had a mere 32,000, that the odds were backed against him. How on earth could 32,000 beat 135,000? And the first thing he had to do was listen to God. And when he listened to God, I wonder what he expected. But what did God say? You've got too many. I'm sure he felt perhaps as we do sometimes, pardon? Have you got that right? And he listened. And he must have felt as well like saying to God, you must be joking. And yet God says, you've got too many. We can't do that, would be how he probably felt. Yet Zechariah 4:6 reminds us, not by might nor by strength, but by my spirit. It is God who moves and God who leads us. And in verse 7, it reads, some boast of chariots and some of horses, but we boast of the name of the Lord our God. We see numbers as strength, and the same was true of Gideon. But Gideon had to learn, as we all have to learn, a very important lesson, that it is not numbers, but it is hearing God. It is doing as God calls us, and it is following his leading. And sometimes, for all of us, the challenge of God is not always comfortable. When we had a minister come to see us, he was our own minister, and he was in charge of what we called in the Methodist Church of candidates for the Methodist ministry. We sat talking, we talked of the ministry, and I'd not expected him necessarily to do that, but by the time he left, I had agreed, and this had been something that had been there in the back of my mind for some time, that God was calling me, and yes, I'd candidate for the ministry. The only problem was, I hadn't told Pauline. What on earth have you done? I can never be a minister's wife. Well, God proved otherwise, and I must say, she was and is an excellent minister's wife. So as God calls, God equips. The second thing is that God reassures. Sometimes when we think we've heard the voice of God, we want to say, forgive me, Lord, but I want to be sure. I don't want to hear another voice, or I want to be sure that what you are calling me to is right. And so we wonder and we begin to test God. And Gideon, you remember, tested God. And he tested God in a very simple way. I wonder if you were to test God, what sort of test you would put to him. Would it be a great test? Would it be something like, well, I need more money, God, please give me that, or I need a new home? And it's not wrong to ask God and his guidance for those things when we feel he is leading us to need them. But Gideon wanted a very simple test. He said, Lord, I want to be sure. So I got some wool and I'll put it down. And in the morning, I want the dew only to be on the wool and not on any of the ground. And what happened? Next morning, the ground was dry. But as he squeezed the wool, water came out, and quite an amount came out. And he realized that God was there, because the container he had used when he'd wrung it out was full of water. You would think that would be enough. He'd ask God to show him, he'd ask God to reassure him, and then suddenly he says, but wait, Lord, I would like to ask one more test. And it was just the opposite, that the wool would be dry and the ground would be wet. And sometimes we all feel like that, that we have to have that assurance that what we are doing is what God is leading us to, and we want to walk with him. And sometimes we perhaps wonder, well, has God worked in this situation. When I was the minister at Chessington Methodist Church, we used to have a monthly healing service that was also part of our evening communion service. And I remember on one occasion that one of the members came to me and she said, "Can I come forward for ministry for another person? Can I come in proxy for them?" And I said, "Yes, that's fine. Of course you can." So she came and we prayed and she felt, yes, God was moving. 3 days later, the lady we had prayed for died. And Celia said to me, "I'll never do that again." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, we prayed for healing and she's died, Joan's died. I couldn't do it again." I said, "But you have to realize sometimes God answers in ways that we suddenly realize he's there. I saw Joan the next day in hospital." This was on the Monday, and I was able to share this with Celia. And I said to her, God did answer that prayer. Because Joan said to me, "You prayed for me last night at the service, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "It was 7:45, wasn't it?" And I said, "Yes," because I glanced at the clock. She said, "Do you know what? I felt an overwhelming sense of peace." And she said, "You know how much I've been fearful of death." And she said, "It went away." And she said, "Now, when it comes, I am ready. Because God has done something within me." God answered the prayer. He answered it in a way that was far better than sometimes we try and limit him to. And we have to realize at times that God will move. And he will move. And we will know that he has moved. And she died so peacefully 3 days later. You see, God had healed her, not physically, but taken away fear. And that was the most important thing, because God can see our greater needs. But we know when God has moved. In our reading, Gideon was preparing a battle. And as I've already said, the numbers seemed too much. I must just have a drink of water. The numbers seemed too much. It seemed almost an impossibility. But God said to Gideon, "Go down to the camp." And he went. And as he walked about, he heard a conversation. And the conversation was that one of the Midianites had had a dream. And that dream was that a loaf of bread would come down, and it was barley bread, and it would smash the tent. But do you know, barley bread is the most worthless of breads there are. In the time when this was written, no one would eat barley bread. Barley bread would be given as food for cattle and dogs. And we have to realize some dogs will eat anything, won't they? And so they would eat barley bread. But Gideon listens, and what he heard reassured him that God had given him the victory. We might say barley bread is of little value. But when Jesus took the 5 loaves, what were they? Barley loaves. He didn't say to God, "What on earth have you given me this for? Nobody will eat it." He thanked God for it, broke it, the disciples distributed it, and when they collected it afterwards, there were 12 baskets full left. Because we serve a God who gives, and he gives us far more than we can ever expect. And that was true for this. And then we realize that we have to act on faith. Gideon could have said, "Well, there's going to be a victory, that's all right." But then, having heard it, it demanded that he responded in faith. Gideon had heard, "Arise, the Lord has delivered the camp, the Midianites, into our hands." And Gideon and the army had to act. And as a church and as individuals, God will challenge us. We may pray for certain things and we may begin to see God moving. But for God to really do it, then we too have to act in faith. How strong's your faith? Is your faith such that if God is calling you to something and it seems at this moment almost an impossibility, that you can say, "I'll take you at your word, Lord. I'll do what you are calling me to." And as you do so, you will see God moving. And all of us have to act in faith and then give him the glory. We don't do it for our own glory, and we live in a time and a world where many want the glory. I'm sure that some of those who were elected this past week will be saying how good they are, how well they have done, and be seeking to give themselves the glory. But Gideon didn't act that way. Think of what he was called to do. He was called to make a surprise attack at night. They were called to stand above the camp on the hillsides, to blow trumpets, to have pictures of light and break them so that the enemy could see them. And the enemy, as they saw those lights and as they heard the trumpets, were terrified and they fled. And we too have to act in faith. If God calls us, even if we feel the odds are against us, we have to act in faith. And why? Because the battle isn't ours. The battle is the Lord's. We are just instruments in his hands. How do you feel about what God may be calling you to do? Maybe feeling like Pauline did when I announced that I'd candidating for the ministry. I can't be a minister's wife. I could say, well, equally, I can't be a minister unless God does it. And it is God working through us that does it. Because as I've said, the battle isn't ours, the battle is the Lord's. And I believe that for Christians, we are going to go through a time where we will be challenged. A time when not only can we say, well, yeah, I go to church, but there may be a cost to it. And we may equally find that we have to witness our faith and don't always find that easy. But whatever the Lord calls us to, the Lord will enable us to come through, and the Lord will enable us to do it. If God is calling us as a church to be involved in mission in a way, as we look around this morning, do we want to say, well, Lord, if only there were more, we'd be able to do it? And what are we saying? We are limiting our power and not saying, well, Lord, if you are calling us to it, we will do it. So the question for all of us this morning is, where do you stand? What is your faith? Is your faith based on numbers and what you feel you might be able to do? Or is your faith based on a God who is all victorious and will enable us to do all that he calls us to do? If he says there's too many, then we look to him. Whatever he says, if we act in faith, we will know that he will give us the victory and he will bring us through. To Gideon, it must have seemed an almost impossible challenge. Too many twice. So let's not think we're not enough. But let's think as the Lord calls, so the Lord will enable us, because he will empower us for all that he calls us to do. Amen.
Thank you very much, Philip. And let's just have a time of silence so we can respond to what the Lord has said to us this morning. Very often we hear God's word, but is there something that God's calling you or me to do? Holy Lord, you make it very clear in your word. It's not just listening to your word, but doing it. So I pray you'll give each one of us courage to do what you're calling to us to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Philip. We're coming to a time of communion now, and we're going to sing a wonderful communion song, Behold the Lamb Who Takes Our Sins Away.
We remember the promise made that time.
Sheila will do our prayer for communion.
Let us pray. Father God, thank you for providing all we need. Thank you for giving us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us who you are and to allow us to come through his death and resurrection into direct relationship with you. We come freely to this table, Lord, knowing that you will be there with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took on all our sins and suffered for each one of us, so that we can live life to the full and have the blessing of eternal life through this bread and wine. Amen.
We praise you, gracious Father, our maker and sustainer. You created the heavens and earth and formed us in your own image. Though we sinned against you, your love for us was constant, and you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world. Sharing our human nature, he was born of Mary and baptized in the Jordan. He proclaimed your kingdom by word and deed and was put to death upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him in glory and through him you have sent your Holy Spirit, calling us to be your people, a community of faith. And so with angels and archangels and all the choirs of heaven, we praise you in the triumphant hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, we praise you that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Savior Christ took bread, gave you thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, and proclaiming his eternal sacrifice, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as we declare the great mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send down your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him forever and bring us with the whole creation to your heavenly kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in the one bread. Lord, we come to your table, trusting in your mercy and not in any goodness of our own. For we are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table. But it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Christ, that we may forever live in him and he in us. Amen. Get some more water, excuse me. All is now prepared. The table is the Lord's. The invitation is his. Draw near with faith. For anybody... Yes, the gluten-free bread. Thank you. wine together. Drink, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for him, for us, and we are thankful. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen.
There are many things on our minds as we come to pray this morning. We need to pray for the health of all our members, including Reverend Stephen Coles and Leslie, my wife Rowena, Pam, and many others. We need to pray for our new government, that they may have wisdom to rule with humility and grace. We need to pray for our broken world with all its division and wars. Please feel free to pray now, either out loud or in your own hearts. And then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer in a while. So, Father God, We thank you that we can cast all our cares on you because you care for us. We thank you, Lord, that you long that all come to know you and all may know your healing. So we pray for your healing on all those in need this morning. Amen. Summarize our prayers with the Lord's Prayer. Let's say that together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And let's close with a lovely song, You Shall Go Out with Joy. Please feel free to stand or sit. And keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.